W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's 50% tariffs on aluminum and steel imports kicking in at midnight. The U.S. facing pushback from trading partners, including the European Union, which is warning of countermeasures. The Steelworkers Union in Canada also says this amounts to a direct attack on Canadian jobs. The Justice Department says two Chinese nationals are accused of smuggling a fungus into the U.S. that is known to kill crops and make humans sick. The two allegedly receiving Chinese government funding research, says ABC News contributor Steve Ganyard.
Best case would be that they were just researchers being paid by the Communist Party to come to the U.S., use our extraordinary research facilities to do work on things that they could take back and potentially used for their own use back in China.
The family of the man accused in the Boulder firebomb attack is now in custody and facing deportation. And Elon Musk is bashing the new budget bill on social media, calling it a disgusting abomination because of how expensive it is. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources officials are sharing safety tips for residents as Canadian wildfires cause air quality issues across the state. Residents are reminded to stay inside as often as they can to limit their exposure, especially if they fall into a sensitive group like children, the elderly, or people with respiratory issues. If you do need to go outside, you should keep an eye on any shortness of breath or coughing. Residents who have respiratory issues like asthma could also consider using their inhaler before heading out. Republican state lawmakers are proposing an expansion of early voting in the state. The proposal would require every municipality to offer at least 20 hours of in-person absentee voting for residents. The state would also reimburse those municipalities for the additional cost. Critics of the proposal say that while increased access would benefit voters, adding the same regulations for rural communities and urban communities would not be the most efficient way to do so, as rural communities don't have enough residents to fill the 20-hour requirement. Health officials say two new cases of measles have been confirmed near the Minnesota and Wisconsin border. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, the cases are unrelated to each other but raise concerns about potential exposure in the area. One case originated in Washington County near the state border, and health officials say that individual was likely exposed on a domestic flight. The other case involved a child at the Mall of America, and health officials are warning anyone who is at the mall on May 24th to look out for possible symptoms. The city of New Richmond has announced over $220,000 in grant funding for the community library. According to city officials, the funding was provided through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation's Idle Sites Redevelopment Grant Program. The program seeks to help Wisconsin municipalities redevelop large sites that have either been underutilized or entirely abandoned. Construction work at the new library is scheduled to wrap up later this year and will include residential units above it and next door. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers lose to the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night, top of the ninth, the Brewers down 4-2. It looked like Milwaukee's Jake Bowers had just hit a two-run homer to center field to tie up the game on the Reds FanDuel Network.
Center field.
Jake Bowers asked if he thought he'd hit that ball hard enough to get it out of the park.
I got it a touch off the end. I knew it was going to be close. And then once I saw it coming down, I knew that was probably a wrap.
So the Brewers' eight-game winning streak comes to an end. They finish the series today. NFL at the OTAs. The Packers drafted running back Marshawn Lloyd in the third round last year, but he's been limited again, this time with a hamstring injury.
We have a feel for what he is certainly capable. I mean, we've seen enough. He's an explosive player, but he's got to prove it over the course of time.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are going to be dealing with a little more of that wildfire smoke this morning, but it's gradually going to get out of here this afternoon, and we should get a break from that for a couple of days here. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 52 tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be on the show, along with Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll talk politics, Packers, and life. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Wednesday morning. It's June 4th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here live from Lake Wissota, up north. Wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, social media, podcast, we cover it all here and appreciate however you've reached us this morning and that you could find us through the smoke, the haze, the fog, and everything else. That's my question for you this morning. Who misses blue skies? Or alternatively, the question is, can somebody go put out Canada? Because all these fires and all this smoke, I mean, we've put up with this for... what would it be, like 4 of the past 5 summers or 3 of the past 4, something like that, where the smoke just gets insanely thick at times. And I'm telling you, yesterday, and I don't know if this was maybe where you are as well, but I've never seen such a smoky, rainy day. You normally think of rain as, you know, going to wash away the smoke. And it was nothing like that at all. This wasn't like haze like you'd see on a typical rainy day. It's just really pronounced out here, and the air quality alerts are still out and about for big parts of, the Midwest. So take it easy out there, and for the rest of us who, it's not a health concern, but it's a nuisance, and hope it goes away soon. But at the moment, we're just going to have to put up with this and eventually get our blue skies back. But it is nice to have you along on this Wednesday morning. Coming up, we're going to hear from Dan Schaefer, political editor from the Recombobulation area. We have him visit Tuesday mornings at 8:30, and some folks are already at work and things like that, so we'll play back some of the best of those excerpts coming up at 6:30 this morning. We're also going to talk about the big, beautiful bill. It is a big, beautiful, disgusting abomination, and that's not a Democrat saying that. That's Trump's former bestie, Elon Musk, is now taking shots at the big, beautiful bill. Because it's not so big, and it's not so beautiful, and now suddenly there are Republicans in the House who voted for this, who are now saying to their constituents and to reporters, oh, we didn't know that was in the bill. Oh, that was in the bill too? Nope, didn't know about that. What do you mean that was in the bill? Oh, did not know. We knew. We were telling people a week and 2 weeks ago what was going in there. But some folks wanted to do the la-la-la thing until after they had voted on it. And that's how this bill got to be such a disgusting abomination. So what you've got is a GOP civil war of sorts within their ranks. Do they want to pass a budget packed with special favors for the rich and cuts for the middle class? Or one packed with special favors for the rich and higher debt and deficits, because they're not going to pass a bill that isn't packed with special favors for the very wealthy, apparently. In our second hour, we're going to talk about a bill that just caught my eye here looking at what the committees in the Wisconsin legislature were talking about yesterday in their various meetings. And one bill, the authors claim it would make it easier for so-called gig workers, you know, like food delivery drivers, things like that, to get benefits that are partially paid by their employer, so long as they're not considered actual employers. You see, the whole gig economy is based on businesses avoiding responsibility for the people doing work on their behalf. So whether it's their health care benefits or being liable for their safety or other things, it becomes increasingly easy to claim that their workers are actually contractors and not employees. And we're all sold on this gig economy as a thing about freedom. You know, you get the freedom to set your own hours and the freedom to work when you want to work. But you're still working for somebody when you're doing this, and usually not getting benefits, usually not getting great pay. So we'll discuss whether this bill helps fix the situation or if it perpetuates it. In our third hour, we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check, talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. That is, of course, President Biden's signature achievement for creating a new generation of jobs in the green economy. And some Republicans still want to cut it. Some want to eliminate it. Some want to claw back money that's already been allocated for it. And then other Republicans, again, the ones who aren't completely blinded by ideology, are looking and saying, hey, wait, this thing's creating jobs in my district. This thing is making us less reliable on fossil fuels here, and do we really want to cut it? Plus, even if they did, if you were to look at a pie chart of the big, beautiful, disgusting abomination, you'd see that the Inflation Reduction Act green energy jobs are just a sliver of this bill. So is it really worth killing new job creation just to say that you stuck it to Joe Biden? We'll talk to Civic Media's Earl Ingram, who's covering people and stories across southeast Wisconsin, and James Kelly, who's covering news in northwest Wisconsin. So much ahead today on a day that, again, is still going to be rather smoky, but the sun is coming out a bit more and more. Right now in the Chippewa Valley here, we've got some fog and some mist and some smoke, and it's 50 degrees right now, but we're going to get up into the mid to upper 70s today and tomorrow, and it will be clear tonight. And hopefully we'll get to talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot tomorrow a bit more about that. So we've told you what all is happening on the show today, except, oh yeah, this guy, Parker Olson, standing by in Madison Studio A2. Mr. Olson, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I could not believe that I couldn't see across the lake. Not that I'm by the lake every day like you are living on the lake there.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't see across the lake as I was driving to work today because it was so rainy and smoky. It was gross.
It is gross. There's just no other way to put it. It's not something you want to see or expect to see. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to be in the area where the fires are burning right now either. But yeah. I'm just saying that the spillover effect is, it just gives you a sense of how big these fires are. Once again, in northern Canada, that we're getting that kind of a spillover impact here. It is really something. Let's see. Tony S. on YouTube. Hey, is that Parker from Whitewater?
That is Parker from Whitewater.
It is, but apparently because somebody's got a Whitewater shirt on again. Nice. This isn't going to be almost... Do you have a Whitewater shirt for like every day of the week?
I probably do. The reason I'm wearing Whitewater stuff today is because today baseball might win the national championship.
Oh.
So I'm kind of going hard out today.
Well, so, yeah. Well, yeah. Way to represent. Okay. Tony also says, really love how we went from one job supporting a family to needing two incomes to support a family to two jobs and a hustle. Awesome stuff. Couldn't agree more, Tony. I wouldn't say that I ever had a gig job or a side hustle. I definitely had to do two jobs, like through med school when Sherry was attending med school. So I was an office temp by day and a waiter at a Mexican restaurant by night. Sherry was attending med school by day and waiting tables at night at a Mark's Big Boy in Milwaukee. What about you? High school, college? Did you have to do some work to put yourself through?
Not a whole lot. No, lucky enough. My parents have been able to support pretty well. Do have a little gig right now, though. I freelance for Adams Publishing Group. Don't do a lot for them, but I do a list of 10 things to do in Jefferson County every week, which is ever-challenging.
Wait, every week? You have to come up with a list of 10 things to do in Jefferson County?
Yeah. There are not 10 things to do in Jefferson County, usually.
And well, I was just going to say, somebody in Jefferson County at a chamber or something should be paying you handsomely for that, but not after that crack, so never mind. But so what would be an example of one of the best things to do recently in Jefferson County?
Well, I know my audience, and I like to kind of poke a little. So I'll throw in a drag queen bingo night whenever I can. I like to sprinkle those in like once a month.
Oh, my goodness. To be so passive aggressive in your freelance work already.
Yeah.
My goodness. You understand how this works. That's so funny. That's awesome. Well, good. Well, guess what? We now have a new feature. When do you have to turn this thing in every week?
Every Friday, I think.
Every Friday? All right. Well, stand by, folks, for our new Friday feature, 10 things to do in Jefferson County. We were going to do 10 things to do around Wisconsin, but I think we got to start small. And maybe, you know what? Maybe we'll grow it from here. Maybe one week it's Jefferson County. And along with all of your many other duties, maybe the next week you'll be doing 10 things to do in Calumet County. 10 things to do in Burnett County. Let's take you on a 72 county tour of 10 things to do each particular week.
This sounds like a miserable task.
No, it's going to be really nice. Tony on YouTube. I suddenly like Parker much more. Who is that Greg guy again? Greg who? Who are you talking about? Huh? No idea here. No, we miss you, Greg, very much. But yeah, we award passive aggressiveness big time on this particular show. Christina Lori puts together our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. And looking at what she's got today, she is sharing Food Network's picks of 25 iconic eats from America's Dairyland. And today talks all about cream puffs. And of course, how famous they've become at the Wisconsin State Fair, but obviously there's a lot more to say about the cream puff in Wisconsin. So let's see, we've got that story coming up. We also have some of Wisconsin's best public pools that are out there and accessible, and a story about bipartisanship, Wisconsin style, reminding us of the times that former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson and former UW Chancellor Donna Shalala teamed up to get things done during the George W. Bush administration. So that's in the weekday newsletter, today's edition. There's also a weekend newsletter that I put together on Sunday mornings about Wisconsin politics. And as I'm looking at the inbox right now, I see that people are still sending in emails answering our question about whether Governor Tony Evers should use partial vetoes on the state budget bill, or is there a chance it gets to the point where he has to veto the whole thing and tell the legislature to start over? And so we're getting a lot of good answers on that as well. You can answer that question, too, by heading over to radio at upnorthnewswi.com on your email machine and sending us your thoughts. Again, email us at radio at upnorthnewswi.com. I would love to tell you some good news about the Brewers. Unfortunately, the 8-game winning streak has been snapped. And then there's other news to put on top of that. TJ Friedl of the Cincinnati Reds made a leaping catch in center field in the 9th inning for the final out to rob Jake Bowers of a tying home run. And Cincinnati rallied for a 4-2 victory over the Brewers last night. Kenosha native Gavin Lux drove in the go-ahead run for the Reds with a sacrifice fly in the 7th inning. Game 3 to wrap up the series is a matinee affair, and pregame coverage begins this morning at 11:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. And then the Brewers are off Thursday, heading home for a long homestand, beginning with a weekend series against the San Diego Padres. Unfortunately, there's some other news to report from the Brewers. Right-handed pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who we thought was coming back from injury, took a hard line drive to the elbow during what we thought might be his final rehab appearance. X-rays are negative, but we still don't know if that is going to delay Brandon Woodruff's return to the big leagues again. Live from the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll get more into this later, but one of the things I wanted to mention was that it's summer rerun season, and so some of us are looking for new shows to watch over the summer. And on the plane ride over the weekend, I gave two shows on Netflix a try, and so I've only seen one episode of each, but I am very much looking forward to watching more of The Residents, which I know people have mentioned it on the show a couple of times, saying, Pat, you got to watch The Residents. You got to watch it. I finally watched it, or at least the first episode. And yeah, I'm in. It's a goofball kind of murder mystery in the White House residence where the family lives upstairs. So I don't know a lot about it other than that, you know, a guy died and this kooky detective is out there, you know, and she's funny and she's quirky and the supporting cast is very interesting. And then the other is The Four Seasons, which I always associate with the Alan Alda movie from 1981, only to come find out that, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Tina Fey has freshened it up, you know, for all these many years later, 40 plus years later, talking about three couples and 30 years of friendship. And there's definitely drama to go along with the comedy. So those are the two that I'm going to try to watch a little bit more of here, along with that new Stanley Tucci one of Stanley Tucci in Italy that we're finding on Hulu. I asked Mr. Olson over the commercial break, you know, what new shows he's watching, and he comes up with some of the best from, what, 2007, was it?
Something like that, yeah. Hey, it still hits.
Parker's new show is The Newsroom.
Yeah.
The Aaron Sorkin HBO series from... Now we can officially say back in the day because it's like 20 years old, but that's your new thing.
It's my new thing. I like it. I like it a lot. It's really good. I think it was really interesting to watch. as like someone who wants to go into news, it was kind of like, oh, high pace, cool stuff. This is how some stuff happens. Not that it's a documentary, but
well, in some ways, I mean, again, Aaron Sorkin, brilliant writer, but again, isn't like The West Wing. First four seasons, maybe first three seasons were masterpieces. Yeah. Trailed off a little after that. The Newsroom, season one, tour de force. Season two, much less so. Season three, don't bother, you know. But yeah, good for you for you know, grabbing something like that. That'd be like me grabbing the Ed Sullivan Show and going, hey, what is this thing? I'm gonna watch this for a little while. So we will be looking forward to newsroom updates as well from Mr. Parker as we move through things here. All right, one of the headlines today, I'm just going to read the New York Times headline first off. Here's the headline, top story. After muscling their budget bill through the House, some Republicans have regrets. The subhead says, the sprawling legislation carrying President Trump's domestic agenda squeaked through the House with one vote to spare, but, and here's the kicker, some Republicans now say they didn't realize what they voted for. It turns out, the Times article says, the sprawling legislation to advance tax and spending cuts and to cement much of President Trump's domestic agenda included a raft of provisions that drew little notice or debate on the House floor. And now Republicans who rallied behind the bill are claiming buyer's remorse about measures they swear they did not know were included. Last week, Congressman Mike Flood of Nebraska admitted during a town hall meeting in his district he did not know the bill would limit judges' power to hold people in contempt for violating court orders. In other words, a special favor for Donald Trump, who has been ignoring court orders. Flood says he would not have voted for the measure if he had realized. And Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia said she'd been unaware that the mega bill has a provision that would block states from regulating artificial intelligence for a decade. On social media, she says, quote, full transparency, I did not know about this section. And she says she would have voted no in capital letters if I'd known it was in there. Here's how you know these things are in here. Read the bill. Read the bill before you vote on it. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that Democrats are perfect in this, as Tony puts gasp up on YouTube. I'm just saying it's rich that this is coming from the party that, when the Affordable Care Act passed, made fun of somebody who said, well, we have to pass the bill to see what's in it. It wasn't correct to say that at the time, and it's not true now. The problem is things are so polarized. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the bill. We've done that plenty, and we'll do it more later. You know, Elon Musk calling it an abomination because of its increase of the deficits. Some Republicans want to see more spending, even more spending cuts, Ron Johnson. Others say, cutting Medicaid might not be such a great idea, kids. Huh? So they're going to fight about this. But I just want to speak briefly about the whole notion of must-pass bills, that we're cramming everything into one bill because it's the one bill that's got to pass. And so then you strong arm people and you go, you got to vote for this. It's the only thing. The way it used to work, and I know it sounds naive and like student council or something, but you'd take all these individual ideas, you'd put them in a bill, you'd argue the bill on its merits, and you'd have an up or down vote on every one of them. But to do that, you have to actually be dedicated to the job and be at it full time. Right now, we have a part-time Congress. They fly in on Tuesday. They fly home on Thursday. They don't get to know each other. They just do what party bosses and donors tell them to do. They didn't want to go into it that way, but that's the way the work day is set up now compared to the olden days, I guess, when members of Congress stayed in D.C. rather for a big chunk of the year full time because that was their job. They got to know each other. They got to know the issues. They made compromises and they passed bills and they got things done. And they don't know how to do that anymore. So they pack everything into one big bill that they don't read and things still don't necessarily get done. We're going to visit with Dan Schaefer next. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. We'll have more from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The average Wisconsin farm probably doesn't think much about artificial intelligence impacting their farming operation, but if you're a cattle producer, it already has. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says last week there was an information breach that hit social media, a false report about screwworm in the United States that turned into a downturn immediately for cattle prices.
Actually, last week on Tuesday, we had a false article get posted on the internet and came out through the socials that screwworm was found in cattle in Missouri. And they just dropped the market that day just with that concern what would happen to consumer demand, things of that nature. It took about an hour, and then the USDA came out and said, this isn't our report, this is not true. And the media outlets who had it on their website pulled it because it was just a perfect copy of what a USDA press release would look like.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says with the advent of even more AI-generated information, he's worried that trying to understand or vet what is accurate information versus inaccurate information is going to become a big challenge for trading firms. Markets in overnight electronic trade, not looking too bad so far. Numbers are next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese dropped 3 to 184. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and three quarters, 193 and three quarters, while butter dropped a penny to 250 a pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 17, 1905 a hundredweight. July corn's up 2, December new crop up 2 right now at 441. July soybeans up a penny, November new crop up a penny, currently at 1022. July wheat's unchanged at 536 a bushel. Now, it's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session, I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are going to be dealing with a little more of that wildfire smoke this morning, but it's gradually going to get out of here this afternoon, and we should get a break from that for a couple of days here. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 52 tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 50.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today.
Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Cynthia Eifert, retired career Foreign Service officer. We talk about the higher obligations of public servants and why what Trump is doing falls so far short.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Not that anybody's counting, but the Recombobulation Area is a now 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, who is also the Civic Media political editor and who also now joins us, complete with Callahan Auto Parts t-shirt from Watching Tommy Boy. There you go, representing well. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on the morning show.
Oh, yes, joining here on the morning. I thought you were talking about joining the club, the Derek Van Orden Insult Club. I'm pleased to be a member now.
I did want you to welcome you to this exclusive club that we are both now members of people who Derek Van Orden has told to kick rocks on the internet.
He loves that phrase, kick rocks.
That is a favorite of his. But, you know, when he told me to kick rocks last year when he was disagreeing with some of my columns about why we should stop having ridiculous constitutional amendments on the ballot every 2 seconds. He told me to kick rocks. And you know what I did with that? I had a special sale at the Recombobulation Area. You could go to the recombobulationarea.com/kickrocks and get 30% off a subscription. And a few dozen people joined up. So
thank you,
Derek Van Orden, for making me some money last year.
See, now that's the way that it's supposed to work. And look, I don't even know that we can do this. I was going to say from a serious journalistic standpoint, from two political reporters talking about this.
Sure.
But it should still be a serious topic that a member of Congress who posts 45 social media posts within a 24-hour period riddled with insults and attempts to dox people, like he tried to dox a UW Stevens Point instructor yesterday. We still should not try to normalize this, no matter who's in the White House.
It is a remarkably unhinged social media presence that Wisconsin's member of Congress from the 3rd District has. You know, it's insults all the time. It's conspiracy theories all the time. And you know what? He is not exactly an accomplished legislator.
No.
At the end of the day, either. He is someone that has not really... He was posting on Twitter the other day, and I took note of this, and he said, oh, we have workhorses and we have show ponies. There was an article in the Bulwark from a few weeks ago from Bill Leaders who wrote that talked about how unaccomplished Van Orden is as a legislator. I'll quote here directly. Of the 32 bills and resolutions Van Orden sponsored in the 118th Congress from 2023 to 24, exactly none became law. And just 3 bills passed the GOP-controlled House before dying in the Senate, and a single Van Orden resolution received agreement in the House. It encourages all Americans to, quote, engage with veterans. That is the one thing that he is able to pass in Congress. So, you know, maybe a little bit less time, a little bit less tweeting. I guess I know I'm one to talk, but maybe a little bit less time tweeting and a little bit more time legislating.
You're not a member of Congress, although I would like to thank Alicia here, a Navy vet, from telling us on YouTube, kick rocks is actually a common phrase used by Navy chiefs. It actually goes kick rocks in flip-flops, cool breeze. Now you know.
Now I know.
Now I know where he gets it from. So as we talk about some of the stories that you're following, and we're going to start in your corner of the state. Oh, wait a minute. I have to bring up Tony's comment quick. Wait, he hasn't finished the farm bill? No. No, Derek Van Orden has not finished the farm bill. There is no farm bill at this point.
Yeah, he's too busy lying about Medicaid.
Yes. So let's get to stories there. And a Milwaukee area mom and teacher's aide who has a law-abiding record to self-deport. And I'm not quite sure how this woman came to the attention of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but
it sure does seem to be another case of, you know, we in the Trump administration are going to send away anybody we like, even if they have twin 9-year-old daughters who are U.S. citizens, even though we said we were just going after the criminals and terrorists. This case doesn't help their case at all.
No, this is a frustrating story. This has gotten a bit of attention here in the Milwaukee area, where you have this teacher's aide, and apologies if I butcher the pronunciation, Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee's teacher's aide, who her case has kind of become this public thing around here with a number of immigration rights advocates, hoping and taking efforts and action to try and get her to be able to stay in the country. But it turns out such is not going to be the case, and she is going to have to be deported to her home country of El Salvador. There was some legal issues with that this spring, where for a minute there she had some legal representation. It looked like it was going to be able to bank her stay, and then now that is not the case. And it is clear that, you know, just this, as so many other examples of what, you know, Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and the rest of the Trump administration here, what their goals are with this mass deportation effort is not a crime fighting public safety type of initiative. It's one that is, you know, go back to the refrain from Trump's first term, the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing here with this case. It sure seems like.
And I would put even stronger language on it, that it is race-based, a race-based policy that they're engaged in by and large, and that it doesn't matter that she has been a pillar of the community, has lived here for 14 years, has a family, you know, daughters who are American citizens, that she left El Salvador as a survivor of domestic abuse, human trafficking, had a brother who was killed in gang violence and feared for her own safety in coming to this country. Now, in all of that, there's nothing there that indicates, well, she's a terrorist in waiting, you know. And yet, to hear her plight, the comments on social media have been downright ghoulish. People going, well, she's illegal, you know, what part of illegal don't you understand? It's like, again, this was supposed to be about getting the undocumented immigrants who are causing trouble, who may be gang members who have joined gangs here, things like that. If you supported somebody like that, but now you're cheering when a mother is being deported at this point, somebody who would like to finish the process of becoming a citizen, it is a very sad commentary on where we are for the humanity of this country, my own personal opinion.
Yeah, and this is somebody who's had a work visa. She works at a bilingual public elementary school in Milwaukee. These are the type of people that we want to have a path to citizenship.
Right.
And, you know, I had a couple immigration attorneys on a podcast at the Recombobulation Area a couple months ago who were telling me just about how difficult it is to just do things legally, and that has forced so many people to into this bottleneck where they're applying for asylum. You know, if she's receiving death threats in her home country, you know, a lot of these post-World War II, you know, never again type of measures that we've taken on the world stage to be welcoming to refugees and fleeing circumstances where they're fearing for their own, where people are fearing for their own lives, that's what that policy is there for. And you think you would think that, you know, could expedite the process for these people, but such is not the case. And it is again, it's like what you said. It is this is not about public safety. This is not about anything like that. There are racial tones to this, not undertones, overtones, lots of tones.
Yep.
A remarkably it's a sad story.
Again, to get to your point about fixing this immigration process and streamlining the process, this country has perhaps rarely in its history needed legal immigration encouraged more than now, with, you know, the baby boomers stepping off the stage, with a labor shortage that is already pronounced. This is a country that, if we want our economy to thrive, had better be more welcoming than ever to immigrants. And yet there was a deal on the table, a bipartisan deal on the table, and Donald Trump by himself said, screw that, scuttle that, We want to deport whatever people that we want, and that's how we end up with stories like this one out of Milwaukee. But we also end up with a story, a very unusual one, that deals with somebody who apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, was the victim of a crime, and yet the person that was victimizing him set things up in such a way, allegedly, that it made it look like he was threatening President Trump's life. And last I can see here, this gentleman, Ramon Morales Reyes, is still sitting in the Dodge County Jail. This is insane.
It's a wild story. And I think it is, you know, the fact that the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, put this out as a press release from the main, you know, Department of Homeland Security press room and all of that. You know, saying that there's this suspect believed to be responsible for writing a letter threatening to shoot President Trump, and it was all a hoax. Well, you know what? I can't help but think that that paperwork errors like this are being used to deport people all over the country.
Oh, of course.
And if Department of Homeland Security is using paperwork errors and things like that to do that, and yet they are making very obvious ones, it seems, in this case, by, you know, amplifying it to the national stage, and less than a week later finding out that this was entirely a hoax, that there was this you know, other man in prison setting up this person, and it's seemingly a really obvious way that they couldn't poke holes in this. And it's just, I think it to me, the story here is that Department of Homeland Security are deporting people for the same types of problems that they themselves are committing with
Correct.
These paperwork errors.
And doing so, again, despite paperwork errors, using masked secret police, using detention facilities that are off limits even to members of Congress. Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore tried to visit inmates at this Dodge County facility and were told that they could not. And when they called a phone number that's associated with it for either ICE or another agency, that phone had been disconnected. And so there was no way for anybody to have oversight and make sure essentially that innocent people aren't behind bars in this country. And that's where we are at this point. Again, it's got all of the elements of fascism with the secret police, wearing masks, people in detention that you can't reach, trumped up charges, deporting people out of the country. I don't know what else people need to know to see what kind of country we've become. Oh, wait, I do have one more, and it deals with trains, of all things. And the fact that there's a story out there that about how there are companies that would rather work with pretty much any other country other than ours when it comes to high-speed rail, because we are so dysfunctional. This was a story I saw on the Civic Media website.
Yeah, it is. It really goes to show how broken our politics is when you see these international companies that would, you know, like to build something and make some money in the United States and build a rail service here, and finding that not only was it so difficult to do it here, it was actually easier to build a rail service in Northern Africa, in Morocco, I believe the country was.
It was.
Built a rail service in Morocco. So they found that Northern Africa to be less politically dysfunctional than the United States of America in the Trump term. It's wild.
This was from SNCF, which is the French National Railroad, a bullet train operator, and they pulled out of projects here in the States. And again, the quote in the news story is, they told the state they were leaving for North Africa, which was less politically dysfunctional. Dan Schaefer, we thank him as always, and you can catch him live Tuesday mornings at 8:30. Today's history lesson is next, including the latest on Pigeon Quest from Melissa Kay. Our history lesson, something we always do, mornings up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, back in just a bit.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. Time for today's history lesson, where we celebrate today's 81st birthday for Roger Ball, who unfortunately stole a name that would have been better off here. Folks watching on social media, if you were to look at Pat Kreitlow and Parker Olson and Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and if they started a group, you would call them the Average White Band. But unfortunately, Roger Ball took that name first and gave us Pick Up the Pieces as part of his work. Happy 81st birthday to him, and good morning to Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Let's get to what everybody really wants to know. They're not here for the history lesson on Wednesdays. They want an update on Pigeon Quest.
You're hilarious, Pat. I love it. There's the birds.
I got you some pigeons, yeah.
Nice job, Parker. Mm-hmm. So I did hear back from the pigeon rescue.
Okay.
And they said to complete the next, they enjoyed reading my application. And
enjoy the application.
This is such a bit. This has got to be a bit.
It's not. I will forward you the email. Okay. They literally said that. And then they said that I need to send pictures, like a virtual tour of my home.
Oh, come on.
What?
Of where my cage is.
We are
and
so
where...
being punked, Parker.
This can't
She's
be.
Not.
She is still playing the long game on this. I'm telling you.
I am not. This is literally what I read in the email.
Oh,
so I took pictures of my my living room where my cage is set up.
Wait. And is there a chance that you're the one who's being punked?
That's what I'm thinking.
You think you're writing a pigeon quest, and it's just the most creative stalker ever imagined in broadcast history. This, I'm really getting concerned now, Melissa. I really am. This is okay. So you're sending pictures of your house now.
Just the outside.
Okay. All right.
I mean, just the inside, not the outside.
All right.
I mean, they did ask for pictures of like the basement and, you know, the attic and all of my expensive personal belongings and maybe my security card. And... No, I'm kidding, Pat. I just had to show where my cage is sitting in relation to the rest of my home. And so that they can be assured that my pigeon pet will have time with me. And
These rescue people are very serious about their rescues.
They are. Well, have you ever adopted a pet from a shelter?
No.
Because they do ask a lot of personal questions.
Well, it's good. And it's good that they care.
Yeah.
You know, to a point, because again, we're talking about a pigeon. But I mean, call me crazy.
I am offended, Pat.
On behalf of all pigeons, I would say that their amount of care related to, say, a dog should be the same as what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So they're asking. So they're asking all the right questions to make sure that I forget. Didn't we give this bird a name already?
Well, I inquired about Bell Pepper. Pep.
Oh, Pep. That's right. Okay.
Yes. All right. So we'll see. I responded, and we'll see if I get an email back. I'll keep you updated.
And this has been the latest in Pigeon Quest with Melissa Kay. On this day in 1979, Fleetwood Mac was at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, recording outside live with the USC Trojan Marching Band, and this was the result. This, of course, was Tusk, the title track to their first album since Rumors. It's not every day a rock band gets together with a college marching band and makes beautiful music together, but they did. Whew. Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas is 81 years old today. Actress Angelina Jolie turns 50 years old today. You want to hear the most prototypical 80s song ever that I could come up with here?
Please.
Happy birthday to Albert Brown. He took that and turned it into Al B. And his stage name was Al B. Sure. And he's 57 years old today. Oh, my gosh. I have been transported back to my first post-college job at 97.9 WAQE in Rice Lake. And we're just going to play all these little 80s New Jack Swing hits. In fact, I got some more classic 80s for you here. Al B. Sure is 57 today. Next, let's hear from El DeBarge. He's 64 today. When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the madness has got you. God, I just want to get all my 80s clothes out again and just throw those on, you know? Where's my members only jacket?
I would love to see that. Let's do that next show, Pat.
Oh, there's pictures, believe me. On this day in 1912, Massachusetts became the first state to set a minimum wage. On this day in 1919, Congress approved the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote and sending it to the states for ratification. Congratulations, Melissa. Good work out of you. You can vote.
A little before my time, but yeah.
Okay, all right. On this day in 1984, Bruce Springsteen released an album, just a little piece of work called Born in the USA. I know, I could have played the title track or...
I'm glad you did it.
Dancing in the Dark or other. Cover Me was my particular favorite.
Thank you for not playing the overplayed ones.
Yes, exactly. Let's see, and one more. On this day in 1977, JVC introduced its VHS videotape at the Consumer Electronics Show. It would eventually prevail against Sony's rival Betamax system in the war to see which one would be the tape player that we eventually don't use anymore.
Those Betamax, were those the really big ones?
They were the larger tape cassette, yes. Yep. Okay. And then there was the laser disc. This is National Cheese Day. This is Hug Your Cat Day. International Corgi Day.
Ooh.
Nothing
Ooh,
about pigeons one. Yet. We have to go looking for a National Pigeon Day. I'm sure there is one.
Has to be. Pigeons have a long history with humans.
There you go. Melissa
They were
Kay,
brought over to North America with the colonists.
From 97.4 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. So much to learn from you. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Much more ahead in the second hour of mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The family of the suspected Boulder firebomber has been detained and is expected to be deported. Mohammed Salman is from Egypt and has a wife and five children. He told police he had been plotting the attack for more than a year. The 50% Trump tariffs on steel and aluminum products being imported into the U.S. took effect at midnight. Shock and grief in Washington State. As of going on 20 years, the police there say they don't think they've had a situation that's prompted tears to come up among police. They felt for the family, says Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison. He's talking about the three sisters, ages 5, 8, and 9, who were found dead near their father's vehicle at a campsite. They had been on a scheduled visitation with him. Iran's supreme leader says that he is criticizing an initial proposal from the United States in negotiations over Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program. Ayatollah Al-Khamenei is not rejecting it outright, however. This is ABC News.